Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. In this installment, we see Margot and a day of her life at school. It was early on the sugarcane road. Margot stopped at the kumari tree. It stood a bearded grandmother. Highly strung in wind and sun, plastic dolls tied to the hands of branches were women's prayers. Here, one sought a first-born son replacement for a blue dead infant struck down in the fever season. She thought of her own two and made a wish for them. Oh, Mata, may they find their happiness and peace. In the heart of the trunk, the tree goddess lives. Once a princess, a kumari, she still did penance for some slight against a cranky sage. Ever since, passing ladies have made offerings to the puja slab at the base of the tree, then chewing its fragrant leaves to a poultice to start the flow of breast milk. She wished she could have had this back when feeding her own two girls. Margot thought of the lineage of saris all the way back to that royal kumari. Could she hear a voice? Beware of powerful men who can lock your spirit in a tree for 1,000 years. Margot heard the marriage party, a brass band coming first. Soiled red uniforms with gold epaulettes shrugged and ambled, a caterpillar drunk on country rum. The wonky band blew Bollywood songs marching down the sugarcane road. Next, wedding guests waved arms and legs, dust land starfishes caught in the current of the stick-beaten dhol. Following in the procession, a white horse with gaudy bridle rented from Juggy's marriage palace carried the unsteady bridegroom, this Maharaja, for one day. Pink turbaned, plumed at the crown, decked in Sherwani frock coat, his face hidden by a gold paper-frilled sera to slip the evil eye. Around his neck were ropes of marigolds and garlands of rupees, a prayer for the prosperity he moved toward, his good luck henna-handed bride. Madam looked from her office window, wondering what would unfold for him. The skinny rib dogs yapped behind them toward the hope of an all-day long play feast. She took out a wedding snap. Aussie, backyard, galahs in the gums, congregation seated on mats over slate tiles. Oh, that red silk sari, a gardenia crowned for her own salt and pepper dark hair. The Bengali maths professor doubles as Brahmin priest from drab suburbia, recites the Sanskrit shlokas after an auspicious storm. The Brahmin's wife blows the conch shell, then knots together Margot's red bridal pallu to the white shawl of soon-to-be third-time lucky husband. Salutations, 7 circuits of the sacred fire together, he leading, she following tradition, pouring of ghee and grain fed by little Lucifer fire starters. And now, the worrying about the girls seated on their Persian carpet, biting lips and snuffling before such foreign rites, gardenia crowned also, doll-like, coddled together, stunned. my darlings. I am sitting at my desk in Shivpuri school. It is cool right now, but soon it will get very hot. The children are sitting outside on long mats under the trees. There are squirrels everywhere that look just like chipmunks. The children are very nice, but also very poor. They don't have money for books and coloring pencils. Your stepdad and I also bought them some sports equipment. Skipping ropes, a cricket set, badminton bats and shuttlecocks. They really need so much love and care. Pauline, how's your gymnastics? Did you get selected for the team? Please tell Mrs. Simpson to put the guard on your ankle. Remember what happened last year? And Adele, please draw me a picture of you and your sister. Your last ones are behind me. You're on my wall. You're always in my thoughts. I will be coming back for Christmas at the end of the year for a visit to see you. Your loving mother, I miss you very much. The lesson had started. The sun was rising. She had taught a class and was inside for a break, but the children were excited as soft drink shaken up, yelling and yelling. She went outside. A turbaned Rajasthani handlebar moustache far from his desert home with two white-cheeked macaques, male and female, collared on string leads, were doing backflips, forward rolls, stretching hands out, walking on hind legs in the three-foot ring drawn with a stick. And now they were building to their best of monkey tricks. The husband sat on a can. She complained in monkey tongue. He put hands over ears, her wifely plaints getting louder until he was sick and tired and cuffed her one in passing. She ran to the other side in this pre-planned charade, crying and hurt, took the unpeeled banana from the palm of the mendicant, the sop extended to her. She accepted and bit, then eyeing her Hanuman, twisted off the banana neck. The audience whistled and clapped. Madam remembered ex-husbands, the give more, expect less history of her past, then dropped grubby rupee notes into the monkey cup. Yes, she was happy to be here. The years of wife and mother had sent her close to raving mad to itchy husbands and their beer. Although the future was not clear, she was so glad the sun was hot, though washing clothes she had to squat, for most this life would be austere. Yet she and Yogi had one goal, to drink sweet water from a pot, to live each day without a lot and strip things back to see the whole. These are the husbands rising at dawn. These are the wives who cook the food, squatting at ovens of mud and dung to fill the tiffins to take to the fields. The sun says go and serve the men who tilled the land, who cut the wheat, then nod to wives to toss the chaff and grind the wheat to make the bread, now cooked at night to fill the men, too tired to talk beneath the stars. This is the dawn when women rise to turban boys and ribbon the girls. This is the farmer's time to be gone to hoe and check the water's flow and wait for noon when the tiffin tins will swing the hands of women again. These are the wives who eat what's left. Another afternoon, lessons seated themselves, drowsy as pollen-laden swamp bees, forgetting alphabets and numbers before the feet of their teachers. Soon the lessons would walk home for chores, demarcated for boys, cutting of animal fodder, and girls who must squat at the mud-slapped cooking chulla. The hot winds had yet to blow dirt and sand through grass huts lined with fertilizer bags. The light was blue haze in hot air. This is the time when the lessons wandered skyward to a hawk circling high on air currents. This is the time when the soft coins of the sun were thrown and tossed by hand-sized people leaves into schoolyards in every village across the district. This is the time when the lessons keep shifting position, hugging to their single shade tree, waiting for story time. Once a shikari crept deep and far into the forest near Gar Mukteshwar, with bow and arrow, knife and spear, about to hunt the spotted deer. Straight away, Margo was talking and stalking inside the tree's cool theaterette. The hunter crept like a jungle cat, but saw no bird, no beast, no bat. There was dead silence. Frustrated, he stopped to rest near a peepal tree. Leaning back on the gnarled trunk, she rubbed her belly in mock hunger. "I'm so hungry at the end of the day. Mujhe bahut bhook lagi hai. I wish I had a plate of pakoras, and so it appears from the box, Pandora's." The children tittered. She went still further. "Then ladyfingers with biryani, potato sabji with deep-fried puri. Then for later, you cannot beat gulab jamun, rose syrup's treat." Approving nods, mouth-watering laughs. It was the old wish-fulfilling tree tale. The hunter desired himself a palace. Each wall studded with gemstones, divans and carpets, lion thrones. No end to it. Room after room and everywhere a strange perfume. The Maharaja, king of kings, in love with wealth, in love with things, a man of leisure, with troves of treasure, now dreams a queen to share his pleasure. Let the story take another turn. From hungry hunter to world commander, more powerful than Alexander, from hunting for the spotted deer, he's now engulfed by absurd fear. "What if her demon should appear and gobble me up and my queen? Oh, dear! Bara raksha ariha!" And so it came to pass that day. Madam grew colossus-like, above squeals, delighted terror, swooped down on Kuldeep, the class joker, engulfed him in a demon's laughter. The clapping and yelling hit the mark of pleasure. "Bahota cha, madam! Bahota cha!" The mind-making demon imagined her, too, into this village school and coated these days in its cane sugar, a local treat from the story bazaar. Let the bell be rung. Hopes were rising on the wings of chicken hawks gathering their satchels. Such were the days of dolls and weddings, contemplating monkey tricks, ideals and pragmatism, tested by farmers' gossip, some praising her piety, others sowing mischief in a country where corruption was a colossus above the national tree of wishes. Madam would stride down the sugarcane road, shepherding the children like a mongoose mother, dodge the tractors, buffalo buggies, then shortcut again, past the onion lands, squat forests of the chili, empires of tomato vine and capsicum, dressed in salwar kameez, head covered like any village woman. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Join me next week for another installment.